all doing? It is an absolutely spectacular day outside. Don't go out yet, please. We're going to try to have service first. We're going to start today with 157. And let's stand, please. 157. Thank you, Lord, for the beautiful day, Lord. Thanks for the opportunity to be here today, Lord. Thanks for getting us here and keeping us safe. Thank you for the things that went on this week, Lord. Everything went well. You kept us safe, Lord. You provided us time that we needed. All that you do for us, Lord, you're always there. Thank you for the power of prayer, Lord, how it's just affected my life, Lord. Not so much me praying for somebody else, but somebody praying for me, Lord. Thank you for it, Lord. It's there, Lord. You can feel those prayers. And my church family does. They send up a bunch of them, Lord. And I know it's working because I know you love us, Lord. And that's what you tell us to do, Lord, is to pray for one another. Guide and direct here today, Lord. I just pray for my pastor, Lord. You'll give him the power that he needs today to deliver your message. Lord, I just pray that it does fall on someone's ears. I already said this. It has fallen on somebody's ears and really need to hear it today, Lord. And if someone needs to get right with you, that they do so before they leave today. Lord, there were funerals that went on this week, Lord, graveside services. Families were well represented, Lord, in what I saw. It was neat to see that, Lord, and thank you for that. Pray for those people that are still grieving, Lord. Just comfort their hearts and keep them. There's folks that are sick, too, Lord, and I ask you to be with them also and just get them back with us again sometime. Be with us, Lord, as we study today. Guide and direct, and I know that you will. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. 170, please. 170.
Glory unsaved, glory.
Service tonight, 6 o'clock, don't forget. Vacation Bible School meeting today at 5. You're going to be involved in that. Get yourself here. Men's Bible study on the 29th. Personal evangelism, May 6th and 20th. Women's Bible study, May 6th at Cottage Grove. Fellowship today. Dinner over there, folks. Kitchen teams, Kim and Sharon there. Training classes are going to be the 18th at 4. The thought for the week, pastors that is. Are the odds ever in your favor when you gamble against God? Guys, you come forward. We'll take up the one off. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you again, Lord, for the beautiful day, Lord. Your creation is truly amazing, Lord, but one day we're going to see it without sin, Lord. It's just something else. But today, Lord, we're just anticipating a little more time in your word along with our pastor, Lord. Guide, direct him. Be with us, Lord, as we listen, Lord, that we'd be attentive, that we might find something, Lord, today that we didn't know was there. Be with us now, Lord, as we take up this offering, Lord. I just ask you to be with the gift and the giver. And thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Sorry for the noise there. This is Turn Your Eyes.
look full in His wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of His glory and grace. Turn your eyes to the hillside where justice and mercy embrace. There the Son of God gave His life for us, and our measureless debt was erased. Jesus, to You we lift our eyes. Jesus, our glory and our prize. We adore You. Behold You, our Savior ever true. Oh, Jesus, we turn our eyes to You. Turn Your eyes to the morning and see Christ the lying away. What a glorious dawn fills death is gone, for we carry His life in our veins. Jesus, to You we lift our eyes. Jesus, our glory and our pride.
And that is indeed why we are here, not only to worship, though alone, but also to be edified and challenged in our walk with the Lord Jesus Christ. Today I greet you in His name. It's a wonderful day, as has already been mentioned. We have really no excuses not to come out, because there's no wind, there's no rain. And I wonder, with the way things are on our weathercast with TV, that soon they'll issue a first alert day for sun. That we need to be careful. But you know what, folks? It's a great day to be alive, because this is the day that the Lord has made. And therefore, we ought to rejoice and be glad in it. Do you have joy today in your heart? Very likely all of us are carrying burdens. And yes, young folks, you may go down. And some of you that are sticklers in here may say, Pastor, you're supposed to have a children's message today. Well, it didn't happen, because God led me differently today. And I just want to say this before we start today. I don't think Satan wants this message preached today. So I need you to really pray me through this, because I think it's a message that has to be preached, and it's in dire need. So with that said, I greet you, but I also greet you with this warning that today there is much in Scripture that we need to digest and to process, and it is not superficial. We will not be done today either. We'll be done on time for today. But the references and so forth that I give you bear extra perusal and study, because it's important, folks. It has eternal consequences for all of us here today. Anyway, I do greet you in the name of the Lord. The title of the message today is Gambling with God and Losing. The Christian Sin and God's Grace, how we handle that. Our primary text today will be in Ezekiel 33, but we'll also be taking a little diversion to start into Romans chapter 6. We need each other's help today in combination with the Lord's help. And so again today, this is a time to worship the Lord. We're going to take a few moments of silent prayer now to do that, but also to ask for the power of the Spirit to be apparent and the filling of the Spirit, and Lord, that the Lord would be dynamic today in His work with us. Also, before I go any further, two other little things that I want to make known. Deacons, I need to meet with you sometime after we get the potluck started, and you're invited over for a fellowship potluck today. It's actually for Christian fellowship, but it's also underpinned with food. So we invite you to stay as soon as the morning message is finished, right through this door or these doors, depending on if you need to lose weight, that's the better path. If you don't, this way, which is handicap accessible. But we invite you to come and enjoy some food and fellowship. By the way, if you did not come prepared today, I already know. I've had advance evidence that there's plenty of food for everyone. And I have some reserve, so if I need to do without today, you can have my share. But come and join us for that little time, again, to get to know one another and to, again, discuss and encourage one another in the Lord Jesus Christ and with whatever may be going on in your life today. Deacons, though, if you could meet me just before you go into the food line for just a couple of minutes. And also, I went to a conference up at Faith this week in Ankeny, and I brought a couple of books back that were given to me as a participant, and they are good books on Refuting Evolution. They're by Ken Ham. His group was there, Answers in Genesis, and we had some speakers for Pulpit Day. You're free to take those and read them and use them and pass them around all you like. I don't care if I ever get them back, but if I do, that's fine. I already know that I have more books in my office that you want me to read than I'll ever get read in the rest of my natural life. And besides that, I need to be concentrating on this book more than any of those things. But there are some things there to help you defend or to be brought into the Word of God and to understand that God made the heavens and the earth and all things that are in them. And He is not only the Creator, but He's also the Redeemer and He's the Sustainer of mankind. And so these are important, fundamental, foundational truths that we need to understand that will bring us into a personal walk with the Lord Jesus Christ. So with that said, we're going to go to prayer. It's good to see all of you here today. God has no mistakes. You're not here by mistake. Even if you were coerced or some way brought here against your will, let me tell you, God's will prevail. And there will be something here today that you will want to digest, and you will not leave here as you came. That is the goal today. With that said, let's go to prayer. And then we'll hit the ground running. We'll take just a few moments of silent prayer, and I'll follow along with a pastoral prayer. Excuse me. Our Father in heaven, once again, a week has flown quickly by. Lord, we are reminded this, that every day that passes, we are one day closer to seeing You face to face, whether as believers, and when we are hopefully told, welcome home, good and faithful servant, or, Lord, for the unbeliever who will face You at the judgment seat of Christ with excuses of what their works have done, but You will say, Depart from me, I never knew you. Thank you, Lord, for calling us to salvation, and Lord, for being the provider of that in totality on Calvary's cross. It's not dependent on us. It's all dependent on you. And we thank you today for your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit, Jesus Christ, the Son of God, that came in the flesh to pay the penalty of our sins, died, shed his blood, rose again the third day to guarantee us new life with you. Lord, this is a reason to celebrate like none other each and every day of the year, but also, Lord, on the first day of the week, we're reminded of your resurrection. And again, the fact that you are the first fruits of them that slept or died. Thank you, Lord, for all that have come today. It's no mistake, those that have come. And Lord, I pray for those that have not come today that made decisions for various reasons why they could or could not come. But I pray, Lord, you'll work in their lives as well. And we ask, Lord, today that you would again go before us and teach us, Lord, gently. But Lord, whatever you have to do to get us straightened out, I pray you'll do it, Lord. I pray that today, if there's one here that needs you, that has never again called upon your name for salvation, or that today has called upon your name for salvation but is not walking with you, I pray today, Lord, you'll bring them back to yourself today. That this message, Lord, and not what I say, but the message that your word says, will have an impact through the Spirit on their lives. Now we know, Lord, there are others in our number who are genuinely sick. There are even some here today who are not well but have come, Lord. May you bless them and prosper them for that, Father. But we know that many are infirm and unwell. We've seen some people depart into eternity recently in families, and we've had the memorials of those here recently. Lord, help us to think from the eternal perspective. Where would our soul be, or where is our soul going? And Lord, those that are spiritually ill today as well, we pray that you would come to them as a great physician, that they'd seek your loving care and help them. Now, Lord, the last thing I have to say in this short prayer this morning is that I've had the thought come to me again through the Holy Spirit today that Satan does not want this message preached. In fact, Lord, you already know that I'm weak today for some reason, and my knees wobble. But Lord, I intend to preach it if you'll allow it. But it's a very serious message, and it's a warning, Lord. We're preaching about your servant Ezekiel. This has all happened before, Lord. And when we choose to gamble with you, Lord, the odds are not in our favor. Help us, O Lord, to get this right. I pray if there's anyone in this room today or that hears this over the internet, that they'll take this to heart. Forgive me, Lord, I'm not a very good speaker, you know that. And also, I'm not able to condense things into a perfect time in 20 or 25 minutes, but Lord, we'll have to come back if you tarry. And Lord, we'll hit it again till it's done, till we get this all figured out, I pray. Now, Lord, help me to bring it forth for your honor and glory and for your use. And I ask these things now in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Friends in Christ, many people, including those who profess to be believers, that would never go to the casino or buy a lottery ticket, or cross in front of a train at a protected crossing due to their lateness, gamble with God, with their willful sin, and because of their faulty reasoning and their hell insurance. You know what I mean by hell insurance? I genuinely believe there are some people here, or many people here likely today. I'm not the judge of that. Only you and the Lord know. There are some people that have understood what Jesus delivered us from, and it's just not so you won't go to hell. But there's some people that may or may not have received you on that very basis, but the rest, they have gotten this idea in their mind is, nothing else has to change in my life because I'm not headed for hell. I've got hell insurance. Well, folks, that may be true in the sense of our eternal destiny. But I believe this, folks, we are accountable to Jesus Christ. And we are accountable to His Word. And what I'm going to read to you in Romans chapter 6, and it's not only found there from the hand of the Apostle Paul, when people have come up with this question and have said, well, God's grace is going to prevail. I'm going to do and continue on in sin as I want to. Because now I am free in Jesus Christ. I don't have to worry about my eternal soul. because I've got hell insurance. But folks, that's not the issue. When we've been redeemed by Jesus Christ, we have been redeemed into His death, burial, and resurrection, that we should live life anew, that things would be different, that we would not continue to go down the same old path. Because what I see in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and 17, it tells me that we become a new creation in Christ when we're born again. The old things have what? They've passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Can you and I say that this morning? This is not to say that we won't struggle with sin. This is not to say that we won't stumble at times. This is not to say that we will not omit things that we should do, which is a sin, or that we will commit things that we should do. How did I want to say that again? Or we will do things that we should not do, is what I'm trying to say here this morning. We know that that can happen, but folks, is the bent in your life and mine towards continuing in our sin, or is the bent in our mind thinking about what Jesus did for us and wanting to live for Him? That's the question we're looking at today. But I know this, folks, because it happens in my life too, and I know there's a lot of gamblers out there today. And you may know something. The Holy Spirit, as a saved person, if you are saved genuinely, He may be telling you there are areas in your life, Pastor John, or whoever the name we can insert in here, that you are going on the wrong track on. Is the Spirit restraining you today? Are you heeding the call of the Spirit to flee from sin? Because, folks, this is what it says in Romans 6. And I'll read it here in just a moment. What Paul is saying to the believers there at the Roman church, he's saying, should we continue to sin that God's grace may be more fully displayed? Answer me on that, class. Paul says in the King James Version, God forbid, may it never be. If we're on that track today, folks, I want to tell us all. And by the way, I preach these messages to myself first. God does when I write them. But it's all, to all of us, it's a day that we better get things figured out, because, folks, we are accountable. We are accountable at the judgment seat of Christ, 2 Corinthians chapter 5. And Paul says it's what? It's going to be a fearful thing when we come under account to the Lord Jesus Christ, not for our salvation, but for what we have and have not done. Will He say to us, welcome home, good and faithful servant? Or will we see in that Bema seat review of our lives all the things that could have been different, where Jesus is not able to give us a reward once again for following Him? But we again, in our own retrospection in that situation, will know, and we can know it today, folks, we're not right with God. This is a very important thing, my friends, in the day which we live. Because we hear the grace of God preached, and it is there, and it is abundant, and it is free. But folks, we also understand that there is an accountability, the Scriptures say that. And to continue on in our sin unchecked, unrestrained, with the idea that we bought hell insurance, is gambling with God. And I'm going to tell you the answer to this question. No. Are the odds ever in your favor when you gamble against God? I can't tell you how God will act with each of us individually, but I can tell you this. We should never put Him to the test with our sin. Now back to the text here, briefly. Again, I believe there's some people that do have hell insurance. They've been saved, but they have not been changed in their operating methods because of their faulty reasoning, again, that the grace of God will not be running out in their case. If indeed they are born again, though, their souls will not end up in hell. But is it ever God's will that we intentionally sin when we know it is sin and wrong, thinking God's grace will allow it to continue? Let me tell you, friends, it is a bad gamble, because at the least, it disappoints God. Have you ever thought about that? When Jesus died on that cross for the sins of the whole world, past, present, and future, don't you think to yourself, what Jesus gave to us, how dare I tread on that valuable, precious thing? He died, he bore the sins in his body, and he shed his blood there on the cross of Calvary to cover our sins, to set us up and back into fellowship with God the Father. And we take the liberty, once again, to receive that, but not be touched by it when it comes to our sin. My friends, that is serious, serious territory when we disappoint God after he paid the penalty for us. And my friends, it is dangerous and it's potentially harmful for us and those that we are interconnected to. This is not all about us. It's about others as well, but most of all, it's about him. Can we say that today in our lives? Is he the preeminent one? Or have we usurped that place in our roles? And we are not concerned about others or Jesus, but only ourselves. Folks, that is a very dangerous place to be because we are interconnected to Jesus. And through his commands, we are interconnected to others. We have a responsibility and an obligation to others. Listen, though, to Paul's words in Romans 6. You know what? Today, I'm going to read that to us. Could you bear with me on that? I want us to hear it because that is my responsibility. Excuse me, I'm going in the wrong direction here. Romans chapter 6. What Paul writes about the things that I had mentioned here earlier about sin that goes on unchecked. Sin that is willful in our lives after we've been saved. What shall we say then, Paul writes? Shall we continue in sin that grace may continue and abound even? And there he tells us, God forbid, may it never be. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer in therein? Folks, when you die to sin, when you receive Jesus Christ, you have been placed in his death to sin. It is not the pattern for the believer to continue in that walk. If you truly have been immersed in Jesus Christ and have accepted that, yes, we will unintentionally and sometimes intentionally fall back. We will struggle. But it is not to be the pattern of sin for one who is redeemed in Christ. We have died to sin in Jesus Christ. That's what Paul says here. He says, know you not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? In other words, we believe that Jesus died for our sins. Therefore, we are buried with him in baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in, read it to me, class, in the same old rut. A new creature in Christ is in dangerous territory if we continue to walk in the rut of sin. In our lives, we must walk in newness of life, Paul says. This is an imperative clause here that's being brought about. It's not an option that God endorses to not do it. If we are in that mode in our life, we are outside of God's will, Pastor John, flock at Fruitland Baptist Church. It's that serious. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall also be in the likeness of his resurrection. You see, when we get saved, when we're buried with his death and we're raised to new life in him, we are now walking under the power of his resurrection. Amen. And folks, that's a test I bring to all of us, including myself today. And you know I preach to myself first. Are you walking in that resurrection power we learned about last week? Are you dead, continuing on in your trespasses and sin? Folks, as Paul said, may it never be. If your salvation has not made a change in your life, you better look at your salvation. If you've only been saved to avoid hell, to buy fire insurance, by the way, you didn't buy it, to receive fire insurance, you better check things out. Because that's not what it's all about, folks. There's more to it than that. And Paul tells this. He says, knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. For he that is dead is freed from sin. Think of it this way. If someone's been incarcerated in jail for a period of time and they're given their freedom, I can't believe there might be a few. I've heard these stories of people, again, that had nowhere to go, so they committed another crime to go back to jail. But folks, if you've done hard time and done that, you don't want to turn around and go back, right? And yet, what do people do? And what do I struggle with? And what do you struggle with as Christians? We want to go back like a sow back into the hog wallow. Lord, help us to avoid that kind of thinking and that kind of bent in our lives. Because one who is dead to sin is now freed from the power of sin. Hallelujah. May we take that seriously. Now, if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him, knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, dieth no more. Death hath no more dominion over him. Hallelujah. For in that he died unto sin once, but in that he liveth unto God. Folks, that's the same thing. When we're saved, truly saved, we die unto sin. We die, we still will struggle with it, but we die from the habitual commitment of it that is unchecked by the power of the Holy Spirit. We live, we have a desire then to live unto God, even though we make mistakes. Paul goes on here, and again, our message core today is not from this text necessarily, but it's turning into that, isn't it? Verse 11, Paul says, likewise reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. It's through what he has done for us, if you've received that. And read with me here, class, verse 12. Let not sin therefore reign. That word reign means what? Have control in your earthly bodies, your mortal body, that you should obey it in the lust thereof. Folks, Brother James tells us how sin comes about. It's through lust. What do you desire today? Do you and I have a thirst for Jesus, or is it for the things of the flesh and sin? We need to develop, through the help of the Holy Spirit, a thirst for Jesus and for righteousness. Last time I looked in my Bible, the command is also in there that says, be ye holy as I am holy. By the way, today, friends, I stand here before you as a man that struggles with these type of things. But understand this, we are to see Christ as our example in our life and to become more like him rather than go the opposite way. Paul goes on, he says, neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. I'm getting to this in Ezekiel here in a few minutes, but I'm going to say it like he would have. Thus saith the Lord. This isn't John's opinion. This is God's imperative. For sin, read it with me, verse 14, for sin shall not have dominion over you, for you are not under the law, but under grace. What then, Paul writes in 15, shall we sin because we are not under the law, but under grace? May it never be, God forbid. Know ye not that to whom you yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants you are to whom you obey, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness. There's the question for all of us right there today, folks. Where are you and I at in this thing in our lives? Paul goes on in verse 17. He says, but God be thanked that you were the servants of sin. He's talking to the believers here at Rome. Past tense. We are to be past tense people, that sin no longer dominates our life pattern and our lifestyle, that it is something that was in our past. This is the persuasion that God wants for us. Being then made free from sin, you became the servants of righteousness. Can I ask us all here today, do you have a thirst for righteousness in your life today? If you're here today as a born-again believing Christian, do you really have a thirst for righteousness in your life? Or is this idea again of gambling with God still there? I got my fire insurance. It doesn't matter what happens. I'm forgiven. We hear that from pulpits everywhere. It's true, but it's not the end of the story. There are consequences. He wants us to live for Him. See? I speak after the manner of men, verse 19, because of the infirmity of... I'll insert here, Paul says, your flesh. He's talking to the believers at Rome, but I'm saying our flesh. You know, when we walk in the flesh, we are not walking under the Spirit. Amen. And vice versa. Yeah. He says here, after the matter of men, because of the infirmity of your flesh, for as you have yielded your members servants to uncleanness and to iniquity, unto iniquity, even so now yield your members servants to righteousness and unto holiness. For when you were the servants of sin, you were free from righteousness. What fruit had you then in those things whereof you are now ashamed? Folks, if we were to all lay out our sins here this morning that we know we possess, and I thank God He's forgiven me today in those, but I still struggle and you do too, but what if those were all exposed right up here this morning? Lonnie Hansford, John Brown, Denny Wheeler, I was going to say Kay Terhune, but she wouldn't be on the board. I'm having fun. Kim Brown, where's Kim Brown at? I'm having fun. We'd all be embarrassed of the gambling we've done with God. What fruit had you then in those things whereof you are now ashamed? For the end of those things is death. But now being made free from sin and become servants to God, you have your fruit unto holiness and the end, everlasting life. Folks, that's the key to know that you're saved. Are you producing spiritual fruit for the Lord Jesus Christ? And the other thing is, does the Holy Spirit grab you kicking and screaming when you do sin? That's an evidence that you are the Lord's and He is trying to bring you back into the proper walk with the Lord Jesus Christ. Excuse me for the cough there. Now being made free from sin, right, Paul writes, and become servants to God, you have your fruit unto holiness. What we do should be production of holiness, fruit. And the end of that fruit and that life is everlasting life. Again, guaranteed in Jesus Christ. But life everlasting that we'll look forward to, folks, when we meet Jesus and we know that we have done truly our best to love Him and to serve Him rather than to come in literally by what? The skin of our teeth with fire insurance and say, oh Lord, well, I wasn't able to, you know what? We won't have an excuse before Jesus Christ. Paul tells us there in that passage in 2 Corinthians 5, we will be what? It'll be like always when we meet Jesus as the judge. We'll be where? You won't have a cocky answer for Jesus when you see Him in His raiment, His eyes of fire. We'll be on the ground in front of the King. The Bible says every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Folks, why not get started today? Why not get this set straight today? Here's the classic verse, Romans 6:23. Let's quote it. For the wages of sin is death, but, and I always say it, but is a favorite word of mine in the Bible, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Thank you, Brother Paul, for reminding us in Romans chapter 6. Now we have about 10 minutes left. Is everyone okay? We'll be on time. Today, then, the answer to our question with Paul is, may it never be. Yes, we may fall at times and due to ignorance, omit or commit, but we are way out of bounds if we, hear me closely on this, folks, if we practice sin. Way out of bounds. That was my Richard Nixon wave. Some of you don't even remember who Richard Nixon was. I won't even go there this morning. if we practice it. Christians, it is gambling to not pursue holiness in our lives for Christ's sake. Did you hear me? It is gambling to not pursue holiness in our lives for Christ's sake. Remember, He died for those sins. Today, an introduction to a message from Ezekiel that God sent to the southern kingdom known as Judah. And He appointed Judah as a watchman. Have you ever read the book of Ezekiel? Have you ever studied about it? By the way, Ezekiel had a contemporary that was younger than him, as the guy named Jeremiah, the prophet Jeremiah. Ezekiel was emboldened by God to give the southern kingdom a warning. Jeremiah was always known as the weeping prophet. It made him sad to see what was going on in that southern kingdom and what had preceded all of it in the northern 10 tribes that were taken into a captivity earlier than they were because of their what, class? Their sin, their disobedience to God. It broke his heart what was going on. Folks, we live in a similar situation today. The warnings that are going to come from the scriptures here today and from me bringing them here today and in the week or maybe weeks to come, the way this is going, are being brought to a nation and a world that is filled with rebellion and sin. We are at the precipice of the judgment of God. I believe we're already experiencing it. I don't care who you elect in political offices, it may make some difference. But folks, we are deserving of God's judgment. And it will come because of our sin. And folks, even Christians are not immune from this when it happens. And we deserve some of it because we need to get our act together. There's no reason that a church, a gathering of Christians here at Fruitland, should not be much more extensive. Even though I understand in the day we live, many people have rejected Jesus Christ. But that doesn't mean, folks, that we are not a proactive force for Jesus in our community. I believe this body of believers here at Fruitland can grow like a weed. But it's going to be up to us to get rid of the sin within ourselves and in our church to be able to prosper for Jesus Christ. We'll see what happens. Ezekiel was pronounced the watchman over the southern kingdom of Judah. And again, to myself, what Ezekiel's going to tell me has an impact for me, and I have to tell you this, it's for all of you too. Us. Right? Yeah. Because he was placed in a position of responsibility for God's flock over the southern kingdom. And you know what? I am responsible for you folks before the Lord. If I don't stand up here and tell it like it is, folks, that's sin. Because it's going to embolden a soul here or more to go to hell or to receive Jesus Christ for the wrong reasons. See? It has eternal consequences, but it doesn't stop there. It's about you too. Because it's about you being a watchman over the situation you have in your life, your families, your church, your fellow believers, the world around you, maybe even your spouse. And so on and so forth. We are not here in a vacuum. Here's the first point of the message. By the way, someday, before the Lord takes me out, I want to have the liberty to preach a message the whole way through. I don't see many heads or many amens coming from that. This is one where I'd like to, but we're always under constraints. But that doesn't mean that you can't study it and that I can't further. Here's the first point. Ezekiel is the watchman. Back to Ezekiel 33. Go to 33 and park there, but you'll have to... Well, we might make another... We might make another little diversion here. It'll be in the book of Ezekiel, though, today. But Ezekiel was appointed a watchman. Actually, let's go back to 3:17. Keep your finger there in 33. Ezekiel 3:17. By the way, what about old Ezekiel? What was he? Was he called into God's service before he was called into this specific service? He was. He was a priest and a prophet. to the southern kingdom. Absolutely. Chapter 3, and I want to take us to verse 17. By the way, God had several terms that he called Ezekiel. One of them was Son of Man. And he says in verse 17, Son of Man, I have made thee a watchman unto the house of Israel. Therefore, hear the word at my mouth and give them warning. What is a watchman? Respond to me about that this morning. Now, we've got a guy, I think, or someone out back. Maybe not right now, Jay. We do. We have. Did you know we have a watch person here at Fruitland at the door? Now, are we afraid of what could happen here? Well, you might be. I'm not. By the way, I'm the first target if they come through. But we have someone here because there's just reasoning to do that, to protect the flock, okay, that is watching for our benefit. That's exactly what position Ezekiel was called of God. He was placed there to observe what was going on, to observe what God had said, and to deliver these people an advance warning to what? To get your house in order. That's why he was called. He's the watchman. He was responsible not to save Israel. I'm not responsible to save you folks or you me. But we are responsible to encourage one another in the commandments of God. And that's what Ezekiel was sent for. That's what all the prophets were sent for, to communicate God's will to them directly, not with fear, but filled with faith. Do you think Ezekiel was up for the task? We already know that he wasn't. By the way, what was one of the things that happened after God made him a watchman to Israel? Someone tell me. I'm doing it right now. His tongue was stuck to the roof of his mouth for a period of time. I told the congregation in Moscow, I'm going to do this some Sunday. I'm going to have a silent message. I've told you that before. I'm just going to stand up here. I know that wouldn't fly, but it flew for Ezekiel for quite a while because God wanted him to open his mouth when the time was. Folks, I believe this with all my heart, the time right this morning to look at this message. That's why the Spirit led me to it. It's today. It's now. We shouldn't let this stuff slide. Because we've been warned indirectly today in 2025, wherever we live, whether it's in the United States or wherever people are at, of God's impending destruction upon sin. It's coming, folks, and we're a day closer today than we were yesterday. Now back over to 33 in our last 3 minutes. Is anyone having problems because we're running a little late here this morning? Obviously, he was put there to warn of danger. And it's the danger for us that leads to physical death and spiritual death, possibly in either category. He used Ezekiel to warn and get their attention, and he's warning us, as I mentioned. 60 times in the book of Ezekiel, you'll find the expression, the word of the Lord came to me. Well, folks, the Spirit took me where this was to be preached today, but the word of the Lord is here for all of us. This isn't new revealed stuff. Ezekiel, the words from Ezekiel are 2,000 plus, probably about 2,900 years old. This stuff's been around for a while, but there's a problem. People don't look at the word. They need to be warned of what's going on. With God's message, that people, in this case Judah, know the God of the Bible, not only salvation, but what he really wants to be and to have interrupted fellowship with him that is not hindered by our sin. That's the message of what Ezekiel is going to be called to deliver. Now, it's a good sign when I go to the second page. But I'm going to close with these questions and we'll be done. We're going to go to lunch. We'll come back next week and get into the meat of the message that God brought. But here's the questions I'd like to ask today as we come down to the end. Do you and I really know the God of the Bible today? Answer? Thank you, Lonnie, for being honest. That was not a sin. The more I study the Scriptures, the more I think I don't even know a thumbnail about God. And I do study them quite a bit, but I need more. And I know that I can speak for all of us here, at least I think I can. Do we really know Him? Well, we can know Him. But it's like my dad used to say, you don't own anything till it's paid off. So when you say, I own a house, if you haven't paid for it, you're owning at it. Technically, isn't that true? And what I can tell you today is I'm working at knowing God. Amen? Yes, salvation is a priority. Absolutely. Today, if you're here apart from Jesus Christ, there is no question about it. Your sin has condemned yourself, and you have condemned yourself because you have not again responded to the Lord to eternal judgment and punishment for it. It isn't just sins that you commit, it's the fact that you're a sinner. Before we've ever done anything, we've been born into sin, and when we reach the age of accountability and understand that, we're guilty before God. If you need Jesus today, call on Him. Receive Him. Confess to Him and tell Him, yes, I'm a sinner and I need You. The Bible says He's the only way, by the way. And you receive that gift of salvation that He provided on Calvary's cross. You are born again in Christ if you genuinely have done that. And yes, you can do it for fire insurance. It's not wrong to not want to go to hell. But folks, there's more to it than that. There's more to it than that. For people that have the ability and understand the responsibility to grow in that. Yes, salvation is priority, but how He operates and what He wants from us, that's a continual thing to live and explore with Jesus. In many cases, most don't, because it shows in our actions that go against His Word. And that's how we know that things are sin, when it goes converse to what God has directed us. Hallelujah! He's told us all this. Folks, as I wrote here in my notes, you can look at this. I've got three asterisks. This is a good place to stop right here and evaluate your walk or lack of it with God. And as this is perfect timing today, how this worked out. This is a good time to do it. Don't worry about the rest yet. Process what we've heard today in your life. It's a good place to stop and evaluate your walk or your lack of it with God. I'll go on, but we'll stop here if we need to. And in this case, we're stopped anyway because of time. And friends, there's more to come, but it's the point of this whole message that I'm going to bring from Ezekiel 33. This is it. If you prepare with this, you'll understand the rest of the things that are to come. It is the pole point of the message. And that message point is this. Are you gambling with the grace of God? Israel was gambling with God's grace. If you are, I want to tell you again, it's a sure loser. I don't believe in luck. I don't believe the Bible teaches luck. I believe it's God's providence. He works in everything. If you plumb the depths of Scripture. But folks, understand this. If we go against what God says and what He desires, you're going to lose. You may not lose today in that sense of destruction and judgment, but you've lost a little bit today. Every day that we walk apart from God, we lose. It's not a gamble worth taking. It's not about luck. That He won't do anything this time because I've done it again. It's about what? Putting Him to the test. If we know different, we should not do it. It's gambling with God. Well, folks, as we go into this next week, we'll find this was the whole core of the message God gave to Israel through Ezekiel. He said, you better get it right, but I'm going to tell you this before next week, and you can answer me this as well. Did Israel listen? Answer, maybe a very few, but the most did not listen. Did they lose when they gambled with God? They lost big time. May that not be the case with anyone here today. We can see it changed right now as we sing this closing hymn. It's time to deal with God. If you're confused or you have a question about things, speak a word to me at the door or afterward here at the lunch. We'll look into the scriptures. Let's get this straightened out today. We don't know where we're at in time. Honestly, when I got up here to speak this morning, some of you have known this. Sometimes I've had little spells up here. I haven't had them for quite a while. I felt today like I could have a spell. Praise God, I haven't. But you know what my thoughts were as I sat over there and prayed this morning? This could be the last time, Pastor John, that you get up to speak. Huh? Well, he saw me through another one. But don't gamble with God. Amen. Let's take our hymnals and stand. 362. I don't pick these hymns, and you know that, but somehow God works within the things that are picked. No one ever cared for me like Jesus. Is anyone else tender-hearted about that today? No one else cares that tells us the truth and loves us like Jesus does. Not even our spouse, our pastor, our parent. Do you have that today? Are you tender to Jesus? Or are you hardened and desirous of continuing to sin, yet not go to hell, but disobeying Jesus today? Gambling with His grace? Oh, friend, many things today could be in the hearts of people. Jesus knows it already. All He wants to hear is for you to confess it and ask Him to help you. And you know what? He will. Because no one ever cared for us like Jesus. Let's sing. I would love to tell you, Jesus, found in Him a friend so strong and true. How He changed my life completely. He did something that no other friend could do. Like Jesus, there is no other friend so kind as He. No one else could take the sin and darkness from me. Oh, how much He cared for me. We're going to sing that refrain. Who will come up here and join me? I'm not up here because I'm the pastor. I'm here because I need help from Jesus. Don't be afraid to come and join me. No one ever cared for me. There's no other friend so kind as He. No one else could take the sin and darkness from me. Oh, how much He cared for me. Brother Dave, would you dismiss us in prayer, please?